game day for the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf edition this hour. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jen Rolnick. For the next 2 hours, we are live in this hour on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6. And when you don't catch us live, go get us on a pod.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Please.
Yeah, please.
Keep us employed.
It's always a good thing, don't you think?
Very important.
A lot of Leafs employed over the last 7 days, or 7 games, I should say, as the Leafs go for their 8th consecutive win at the Scotiabank Arena. They'll welcome in the Vegas Golden Knights for the second time in a week. They will play each other.
Mm-hmm.
Any chance this goes as well as their first game?
No.
In Sin City?
I mean, it went perfectly. They handled the defending cup champs, right? They ran away with the game in Vegas. Not going to go that well. Vegas isn't going to come in and lay down, do you think?
Probably not. I would believe that they would have had a thorough visit to the video.
I think so.
Of the game, and probably picked out ample examples of where they went wrong, particularly on maybe focusing too much on the big boys and letting the bottom half of the Leaf lineup beat you, because that was the feel a week ago, was it not? That the bottom six beat the Vegas Golden Knights, not necessarily Matthews or Marner or Nylander.
It's funny when you say, hey, make that team beat us with the rest of the guys. Shut down the big guys. Well, make the rest of them beat us, and then the rest of them beat you, and you go, oh. Now what do we do?
You can live with that, I guess.
We executed the game plan. But I would expect that's good news for the top guys who should get a little more space. You get home change. I don't expect Aiden Hill to get yanked, 15 minutes into the game or whatever it was last time. So he's starting again for the Golden Knights. Interesting stats you have in here on the Leafs record versus the Western Conference. 22-5-2.
Yeah, this is from Terry Koshin, Post Media. He said 22-5-2 against Western Conference team, easily the best in the East. No other team in the East has more than 18 wins. So this basically means Leafs get to the finals, they'll win the Stanley Cup.
That's what this means for sure.
There is,
right, Sammy?
No other way to draw a line than the one you just did.
Yeah, exactly.
You nailed it.
It's
absolutely
done.
So
no more 1967.
You're talking about, the Golden Knights giving them a better effort. They're still really banged up, fellas.
Yeah.
And I looking at these line combinations, I think they'll still be in tough here. This Leafs team is really humming, and they've now won 7 in a row. They're on home ice for the first time in a while. We'll talk about the first game back from a road trip or whatever. But, I mean, their fourth line, Mason Morelli, Byron Fraze, and Sheldon Rampel is their fourth line. Paul Cotter, Nicholas Waugh, Keegan Kolesar, good players, but, that's up to their third line now. You've got Brendan Brisson on the top line. It's not exactly the most threatening forward core.
It's not a threatening forward core, but it's still Martinez, Petrangelo, McNabb, Theodore Hägg, White Cloud on the back.
They shot 7 past those guys last time. So I know they'll be dialed in a little bit more, but I think, the Leafs do post a pretty big threat to the Knights tonight in terms of what they're looking like with their forwards.
For sure.
Jack Eichel skated, I think, for the first time.
He did.
Yes, in a rouge jersey, which is the injury non-contact one, but he's moving. He's getting out there again. That's a good sign for Vegas.
I think they're on an extended trip, are they not?
I don't know.
Which I think includes the Boston Bruins, and that's basically where
they got the Bruins
from
on Thursday.
Is this more of a trip that I want to go home with a team?
Well, if he's skating, I think it's important that he's around and practicing with them and all that.
He may see action in probably, I don't know, I would imagine a week and a half.
Mm-hmm. But so since the Maple Leafs beat them, they were struggling during that stretch. They lost to the Senators in a shootout, the Leafs again tonight, and then it's at Boston, at Buffalo, at Columbus to end their trip. So that's a long trip in the middle of a tough patch for them.
Can I bring something up about the fans tonight?
Mm-hmm.
I saw Bonesy tweeting about this. I think this is the first game
back at
home for Morgan Rielly.
Yeah.
I would expect a louder
standing ovation.
Maybe not standing, but a rousing. I think it matters.
Interesting.
I do. Like, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I know it
should acknowledge him.
He
absolutely. For what?
For saving the season with cross-checking somebody in the face?
For the cross-check to the face or for having cross-check to the face. Returning after a long suspension?
No.
What are we cheering?
For getting his nose dirty when so many in the past haven't.
Are you zagging on this?
I'm not zagging at all. I just want to clarify that we're celebrating the cross-check.
It's exactly what we're talking about.
Okay, good. No, this
that
is great.
The fans so turn around.
I agree.
And say, hey, Morgan, it's a dirty job. You did it. We've won a lot of games since then.
Yeah.
And now possibly you righted a ship a little bit here for us.
This guy cares. We care that he cares. We all care.
And it's Morgan Riley who, you know, I think is a sneaky fan favorite in terms of just how much he cares, how much he loves being a Leaf, how much, the fan base responds to this guy. And the fact that he was the one that did that, it really propelled them towards a 7-game winning streak. It'd be nice to see them give him a little extra juice on home ice tonight. I would like to see that. Even a standing O. Why not a standing O? Why not?
Because he did a criminal activity.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
And guess what Toronto fans like? Criminals. They like ice crimes.
Ice crimes.
They do.
I really don't know about a standing ovation for cross-checking a guy in the head.
No.
But I get where you're going.
Oh, I got to tell you, if I'm there tonight, couple Coors deep, I'm getting up. I'm standing. I'm clapping.
You know, all the moralizing aside about how you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't hurt people. But as a sports fan, I can see why people would be like, way to go.
It is kind of embarrassing.
What?
Kind of embarrassing that you think that your team has been so soft for so long that is the acknowledgement that you need to have.
Yeah. But, I mean, it hasn't happened yet. We don't know that the fans will react that way.
No, come on, Sammy.
No, I disagree.
No, I think he's making a good
point. No. If you
were, the Leafs
okay,
are
first
soft.
Of all,
shocker. Is that
first of all,
here?
If you were a season ticket subscriber to the Florida Panthers, your knees would get tired of standing ovations all year long.
Okay. It would be like, he continued to stand
you know what
up
I'm saying?
For the boys.
Yeah.
This
I
is
get
a norm. This behavior has been
do
a norm
understand?
For the Florida Panthers all season long. Yeah. You want to give but one guy
here's
a standing
difference.
Ovation
here's
for
the difference,
it.
Though, Kipper, between the Leafs and the Florida Panthers, a Florida Panther is not even getting fined for that. Morgan Riley gets 5 games suspended for it, so that's the difference. The Peros would be like, it's fine. He's not getting suspended for 5 games.
What
do you think? Who do you think I am?
Okay.
Here?
We don't mind you. As the president of the Booster Club for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but when you pull out pom-poms, that's where we draw the line.
I think he deserves acknowledgement for a turning point in the season, and I don't think that a standing ovation would be too much to ask, and I don't think it would be embarrassing.
It's not Börje Salm in Team Sweden 1976 standing ovation
at
Maple Leaf Gardens.
Yes. Yeah, but he's playing for the Leafs. He's not playing for Sweden.
You know, they should do
this. I'm acknowledging that that's a real standing ovation.
Yes. I get all this, but I think I guess that's what we get paid to do. We get paid to overthink things. But you're overthinking it a bit here. The guy did a thing that was awesome, and everyone loved it, and he's back for the first time.
And, give him
a
cheer.
Stand up. Get in your feet.
They should treat it like he's a returning player and do a video tribute to the project and have him come out.
We're talking.
Have the three of us actually break it down. Like, let's stop the game, and we break it down on the big monitor.
You know,
as the video shows.
You've been to a Vegas game. Kipper, they bring out this like knight thing. They bring out like a gold knight and they do like this whole like enactment. They should do that before the Leafs game and bring out a guy with like the Ridley jersey.
Yes.
I'm onto something here. Anyways, I think he deserves a little acknowledgement.
By the way, Sam nearly got concussed in beer league today. So if he's a little off,
first, car and now your head.
God.
What is going on with you?
I will say, I don't know. Am I making less sense? Because I'm feeling like I am. But,
You're good.
I just got, I fell like a crappy hockey player.
Right after a move on the goalie just past the net.
I made a rather nice move around the defender, if I do say so myself, but I was extending because the puck got away and then I hit a rut and I went head first in the boards. So it's okay though. I'm fine.
Fine.
All good.
Okay, we'll wake you up every 10 minutes during the show.
I'm fine. No problems.
So same lines tonight. Noah Gregor is still a healthy scratch. Your thoughts on going this long with Gregor not getting back in? Do you believe that Reeves is playing himself into a potential playoff lineup?
No, I think they're getting him ready for the big guy in the New York Rangers.
Rempe. You think so?
Well,
keep his cardio up for when he's going to go rounds?
Well, I mean, the fourth line said it's two of its best nights in the last two games with him on it.
Yeah.
They've won seven in a row. I don't think anybody's clamoring for Gregor to get back into the lineup. To me, it's just keep playing him until you lose.
I mean, Reeves is on a three-year contract. He's had a good few games here. Keep him going.
Yeah, I think it's still debatable whether or not we'll see Ryan Reeves in game one.
Yeah,
I think that's a long shot, to be honest with you. But right now, it's serving its purpose. There's a good look on that fourth line. Reeves has never spent less time in his own zone than he is in this current run.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not an issue. And, yeah, let Gregor get hungrier.
I'll take you back, though, Kip, to game one versus Tampa Bay last year, when the Leafs thought it was going to be physical, tone-setting hockey, and they dressed Kyle Clifford and Wayne Simmonds in game one. Mm. I think we all remember it was a Clifford penalties. Took a 5-minute major.
That was two series ago. That was the first Tampa series where...
Not last year?
No, it was not last year.
It was two years ago with Clifford.
And he buried someone from behind to the boards, 5-minute major, kicked out of the game. They killed it off 1-5-0.
Yeah.
They lost game one, 8 or 7-2 last year?
That's right.
Yeah.
And then they won 7-3 the next game.
Anyways, so there you go.
Anyway, my point is,
yes,
may Ryan Reeves had that same relevance where they're like, it's game one, it's Boston, or it's Florida. Yeah. We're going to need the meat.
Yeah, I think Ryan's at the point of his career, and he's played a lot of playoff games.
It's a good run here.
And I think over the course of those playoff games, whether, you know, it's Vegas or the Rangers, did he play much in the playoffs for the Rangers?
Oh, a ton, yeah.
So
he's got
enough savvy in him to not do anything stupid. I don't think that'll be the case. It'll just be strictly on whether or not you're okay with the lack of speed or footwork, I think.
He's played 108 playoff games.
108 playoff games. He played 18 with the Rangers. He went deep a number of times.
Yep.
With the Golden Knights, 19 and 12.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's just a matter of the look you want.
Yeah.
And right now, I think he's fine where he is. And, you know, from Brad Treliving's point of view, you still want to prove that it wasn't a dumb signing.
I think that there's some of that too, right? You need to validate them.
And he's doing it right now. Yeah. He's fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's fine. And, yeah, Rempe's going to come down Saturday night. I don't know where the kid's going to
be. Will you be surprised if he doesn't fight him?
Listen, the guy's had a tough week. I don't know where he is. Like, he's got to get through Columbus tomorrow night.
I bet you they tell him he can't fight that Olivier again.
It wouldn't be the worst move, to be honest with you.
Do you think he's got the pride thing of having lost one and now he's going to want to?
Listen, I've never gone against my coach, and I've been on benches where coaches saying, listen, I don't want you to fight. Okay. Don't fight. I need you to forecheck hard. I need you to get pucks out of your own zone. I don't want to see fighting out of you as the number one priority.
Mm-hmm. If he's told not to, he won't.
If he's told not to, you don't want to embarrass the coach or yourself. So listen, and that's where the Rangers got to step up and go, buddy, we love your gumption, but we gotta pull back a little bit here.
I bet they make it public to protect him, not embarrass him, right, for not going back at the guy. They'll say, we don't want him to do that anymore.
So, I mean, there's a lot of pluses off of what he's been able to do in a short period of time.
Yeah.
But you've got to protect him a little bit here.
So no Liljegren for the Leafs tonight.
Where is the lily pad?
Day to day.
He is day to day.
Can they just not be healthy ever. There's always like one guy, one situation,
I think that's everywhere.
So now we've got Gio back in the lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And six left-handed shots.
Six left-handed D-men tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at pairs of Brody McCabe, Riley Benoit, Giordano Legison.
Mm.
So McCabe, Benoit, and Legison playing offsides.
It's interesting to me that they stuck with Brody on the left side.
Well, it's funny, right? Like, they need three left shots to play the right side, and Brody isn't one of them.
I'm sure he will. Like, when push comes to shove, they could happen against Colorado. Keefe couldn't help himself putting him together with Riley again here and there. I'm sure it'll happen again. They'll be mixing. We'll listen to the clip from the coach.
All right, let's go to Sheldon Keefe for our first Kippers Clipper on how the Leafs handle their decor without Liljegren.
Yeah, I suspect we'll be moving things around a fair bit. Obviously, six left-handed guys. We do have different people that are comfortable on the right side. Obviously, we know Brody's comfortable there. Morgan, even last game, took some shifts on the right side. McCabe, of course, and Legison. So, you know, Benoit, probably the one that's spent the least amount of time there. We gave him some reps yesterday in practice for that reason, if we had chosen to use him there. But, you know, with the different mix that we have, I think you'll see different people moving around.
Yeah, and that's the way Keith likes to do it. Jump it around as the game goes on.
All right. I don't know what you guys want to do. You want to follow up this decor conversation with something's going to come to a head here soon because Morgan needs a partner.
Mm-hmm.
So
you don't think playing with Legison is going to do it?
No. Benoit?
No, I don't. I think.
Well, you've been working the phones, Kippy. You hearing anything? What's going on?
Just the Leafs' number one target, number one priority would be, in a perfect world, Tanev.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not there. He's tried all season.
What about Seattle's guys? That, like, Will Borgen they have, he's playing second line, he's a right shot, big body guy. Really good players, 27, making 2.5 or 2.75.
First of all, there is a sense around the whole league that whoever needs D, and it's been noted as many as 10 to 11 teams need D, that there's Tanev, and then you can throw a blanket on a number of guys after Tanev.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the guys that you're talking about.
Like Adam Larson's in Seattle, too. I don't know if Seattle's done. They're pretty done, but
I don't think Seattle's looking at moving Adam Larson. I think they like their D, and they're just trying to find ways to add some more scoring. So I don't think they want to rob one to pay another here.
But Seattle's just going to Minnesota Wild themselves right into the old 17-20 spot for years.
What does Larson have? He's got a very good contract.
Yeah, he only makes $4 million, and he's under contract next year as well.
Yeah,
6'3" right shot.
So if Seattle's actually still thinking about making the playoffs and for sure want to make the playoffs next year, why are you getting rid of a very good, solid defender who's very cap-friendly? It makes no sense to start throwing these names out there as being legitimate type of guys that the Leafs can focus on.
Yeah. It's just crazy. Like, if you scour the league, like, there's not a ton of great fits. Jonas Siegel had written an article about some potential targets. One that I thought we've had here before with the Leafs was Lyubushkin. I liked the question he asked, which was how much cheaper or how much worse is he than Chris Tanev? How much, does he not do kind of the same thing? We've seen him with Riley in the playoffs in the past. They played pretty well together. We know he hits.
It's night and day for me.
Oh, a big difference?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's night different, day. But
one's a legit top four, and the other one's your third pair.
But same, that's what Luke Shen was, and that worked for the Leafs.
Did it work for the Leafs? They got smoked in the second round.
Yes, it worked. They were a wonderful pair. They were great.
No. No, it still wasn't good enough. They lost. They weren't even close in the second round. How can you tell me it was good? It worked.
If a team makes a good trade and they don't win the cup, it doesn't make the trade or the players good.
Luke Shen is a third pair D on a Stanley Cup championship team, which he was in Tampa.
Yeah.
putting him with Morgan Rielly or Labushkin with Morgan Rielly is not the look of a team that's ready to go to a final.
I think it looks, it depends what the rest of that group looks like. You know, it depends on the other four guys.
You can see it right now.
I can see it. And yeah, it is. I get your point. But when you're talking about acquisition costs and what the Leafs have to spend, what is Tanev going to cost compared to Labushkin? Labushkin's going to be a third or a fourth rounder, something like that. Tanev's a first and a five-year maybe or four-year extension.
No, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe you find a way to get Tanev thinking outside of the box, right?
I mean, then that interests me a great deal more. The extension's still worrisome, but...
Well, the extension is just cost of doing business, and you can feel that you're going to pay Tanev what you were paying Brody. That's it. So...
Yeah.
And you're a lot more comfortable, I think, with Tanev for the next 2 years than you would be Brody at $5 million.
Sure, so, but on a four-year deal, that's...
So can the Leafs get around spending a first-rounder or even picks for that matter?
To me, trying to get Tanev to do this means someone else is going to do it.
Just get more people involved in a trade with Tanev. Like, go move bodies. Forget about the first rounder. Move bodies. What would interest Calgary to move Tanev out? Maybe it's four or five guys. You got to move guys out. You got to move bodies out. Maybe it's a five-player trade. Maybe it's Tanev and...
Take McMahon, take Robertson, take...
Mangiapane. What's Mangiapane's situation? Does he need a new contract?
He's a UFA.
All right.
What was that move?
That's my ears perking up.
Oh.
Yeah.
So now it's Tanev and Mangiapane, and now it's... See, you got to throw a sweetener in here. So what would excite Calgary off the Leaf roster? So maybe it's Minton. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they sit on Minton, but take a look at the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks. What's propped up here? Maybe it's Holmberg. You know how I feel about Holmberg, but I would think Calgary would be a lot more excited about Holmberg today than they were 2 or 3 weeks ago. Big body, can eventually maybe move into a top 6, 7, 8 on your depth chart. Is he that good? I don't know. Do you see that?
This seems like a bit of a poo-poo platter for one of the biggest. Like, I don't think they're going to...
Do you throw in...
They're going to be asking for Cowan. They're going to be asking for Minton.
No,
they're going to be asking for first.
No,
like,
no,
if you want
to... You don't need to go that deep. I don't think you need to go that deep because you got to understand, they're asking already for a first rounder.
Yeah.
And no one's giving it to them.
Yeah.
They're not getting it.
Okay.
And there's a very good chance between now and next Friday, they don't end up with one team offering a first rounder. The problem for the Leafs is... It drops into a second rounder. Everybody's lining up with the second rounder, except the Leafs don't have it.
Yeah.
So what else can we sweeten you with? So Timmins, Robertson, and Holmberg enough for a UFA and Chris Tanev?
No.
Okay.
Well, no, listen, I like the direction you're going.
That's
the
type of deal that Brad's now got to throw them until they say yes.
I think what's probably giving teams pause on Tanev is that pure rental versus extension thing. Because if you're going to spend a first, you're keeping the player. Not a ton of people would be comfortable keeping a pretty battle-worn guy who's already 34. You know, and that might give them some pause, which might open the door a little bit to something like what you're talking about. Now, Mangiapane is a very interesting name for me because he's the type of gamer.
Yes.
Who gets in and under and through players in a way that I really value.
Is he too much like Bertuzzi? Are they two of the same? You're finally getting Bertuzzi going, but you could use Mangiapane, could you not?
First-line left wing the second he shows up.
He makes 5'8" this year and next, Mangiapane. Yeah.
Oh, he's got another year?
Yeah.
Oh, he's not UFA?
No, he's got another year.
Okay.
5'8".
All right.
But Bert's 5'5" in that spot. So
I thought he was UFA.
Yeah.
My apologies.
Well,
but
that's just more cost. It doesn't not prohibitive. I mean,
yes,
yesterday
correct.
We talked to Francis, and the name he mentioned as a potential surprise name was Mangiapane.
Yes.
You know, it's not like this is coming out of nowhere, so.
Yeah, but that's, to me, can Brad Treliving do that type of deal and protect a first round.
It's funny hearing Francis talk about the risk of trading with the Leafs and how if it really works for the Leafs, it just buries your reputation.
Who's the Leafs' top D prospect?
Topi Niemela?
Noah Chadwick?
Could we interest you in one of those guys?
Yeah. I think there's that.
Yeah, Chadwick's pretty.
Yeah, he was like a sixth rounder and they signed him already. He's playing well in the dub. Maybe he's one of a guy. I don't know. There's not one guy that you named that I wouldn't trade for those two guys. Except Cowan, I probably wouldn't trade for those two guys. But I just, why not just the first?
Yeah.
Fine with the first. Fine with it.
It's expensive.
Yeah, I know it is.
I know.
But
and I'm not saying I wouldn't necessarily do it, but I've got to have my back against the wall on March 8th to do it.
Yeah, it's 2:55 p.m. And he's like, either he's going to arrival or you give us the first.
So.
Yeah.
All right.
Buddy, it is crazy how close we are to this deadline. It's 8 days away.
Yeah.
And TV producers everywhere are very thrilled about, and hosts are very thrilled about the lack of movement.
Did you see our national game last night had a countdown. Like it was like something like 260 hours to go or something like that.
I think it's tongue in cheek, right? Like,
no, I think they're dumb enough to think that that's really important for us to see. That's what I think.
No comment. No comment or questions at this time from me.
I'm like, I can't do the math. I see like 256 hours, and it means nothing to me.
That feels like it's more hours than that, but I can't. I have no brain. So.
I saw a lot of numbers there.
10 days times 24 hours, we're at 240. So
looked like a old Jerry Lewis telethon,
buddy. It's,
with all those numbers.
I can't believe the lack of action here. So something's coming.
Yep.
All right.
We got lots of stuff to listen from Sheldon. So.
We should go.
Oh, she go?
Yeah.
Oh, Carter Hutton
at 4:30.
Oh, we got Carter Hutton. All right, former NHL goalie, current analyst with DailyFaceoff.com. We're going to talk three goaltenders as Joseph Woll is back in the mix for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So get ready for Carter Hutton after the break. More Real Kipper and Bourne after these words.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get ready to welcome in Carter Hutton, former NHL goalie, and does a terrific job on DailyFaceoff.com. Carter, how are you? Second time on the show. Love having you on. How are you?
Always nice getting the call back, buddy, because I've been on teams where I've been one and done, so it's nice to be back. So.
Oh, we know the feeling. We absolutely know the feeling. So tonight, we'll see Samsonov back in the lineup. To my surprise, a tad is Joseph Woll will not back up, although he's ready to go, which means a three goalie system right now that Martin Jones is still in the picture and far off in the skies, but maybe working on his return. Also Matt Murray. So let me ask you before we get specifically on the Leafs, just generally how you feel about an NHL team carrying three goalies.
I don't necessarily love it, but I think nowadays with what's going on with the Leafs, you know, they need the depth. But for me, it's getting reps, right? It's getting the right reps in practice. There's only so much time. There's always going to be a third guy who isn't, you know, there. When we were during the COVID year, I was in Buffalo. Me and Linus Allmark were taking all the reps. We had Jonas Johansson, who's gone on to have a great career. But it's hard. You have to step over guys. You need to get your time because there's only so much time and so much quality time you can get. So I think it's something the NHL you're going to see a little more of because of the fact that you need goalie depth. And especially with how many goalies we've run through this year in the NHL, you need extra bodies.
Do players shoot differently on the third goalie in practice? Like, is it one of those things they're catching them off the collarbone or what?
Yeah, there is the fact when the third goalie rolls in that they are a little meaner. Actually, one of your co-hosts there, Jamal Mayers, I remember my first time in San Jose and I slid out. I was with Antti Niemi and I stepped in there and he went high and hard a few times and I didn't go down on one of his shots. He let me know. He told me, rookie, you always go down when I shoot on you.
Just leave the puck stopping to me.
So, like, one of the things that drove me nuts every time I was in a situation with a third goalie. It's like they don't know necessarily where to stand.
You're in the corner. Am I by the benches?
You know, is it now an unwritten rule where you got to go sit on the bench? Is there anywhere that they can stand that they can't get in the way? Or is it one of those, even as a veteran, you still don't know where to stand? It would depend on the drill, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's kind of awkward, right? Especially, it's one thing if a guy wants rest, right? And he's been playing, you know, maybe he's not going to take the full reps. Usually if you're the third guy, you're getting in late in a drill or a guy's already tired, or you're coming out at the end of practice. But I agree, there really is no written rule where you stand. You don't want to sit on the bench because then you feel like you totally aren't involved in the team whatsoever. So it's one of those things, everybody know you needs depth. It gets awkward at times, but at the same time, I think goalies at this level understand you're not even competing with those guys. You're competing against yourself every single night. And that's the main goal here, I think, for anyone in the NHL.
So how do you think the Leafs should handle the guys they've got now? You got Samsonov, who's been winning games, not with a sterling save percentage, but he's been winning games.
Just for the record, you know, since the All-Star break, he's up around 9-11, and he's 9-2. Not bad.
9-11?
Yeah, his save percentage.
I thought he was like I thought he was 900 or something.
No.
Okay.
I think overall he might be.
Okay.
I think in his last six wins, he's under 900 in the last six from what I see. So I think it's more the way they're defending, too. It shows a difference in how they've defended. And for Joseph Woll, you look at his numbers this year, it's been really good, but they weren't defending as well, I think. I think this Morgan Rielly, you know, kind of galvanized his team, the suspension, you know, getting guys to buy into a bigger role to play defense. It kind of gives me the feel of when, you know, Barry Trotz came into Washington and got Ovi and those guys to buy in to play a little more D, which benefits your goalie. But at this point, I like Samsonov's game. I still feel like you, as a GM, as a coach, as teammates, you don't forget about what just happened at the start of the year. It's still in your back of your mind. He gives up a couple stinkers. You're worried he's going to just mail it in. So I think you got to get Woll going at this point and see who's going and ride the hot hand.
Okay, Carter, what does that mean when you say get him going here? Like, he's been off for over 2 months here. If he plays against Arizona on Thursday night, would you go back to him Saturday night against the Rangers? Would you let him get on a run? Is there a sense that you still have to protect this guy even if he looks good early?
Yeah, I think just with the injury prone, I feel like you want to get to somewhere where you have a platoon of goalies, right? You have Martin Jones. You know who he is. He's going to be able to go. He's got a ton of playoff experience. So if you have to throw him in, he's ready to go. But I think just going game by game, right, kind of a feel, even where you get into the point where the Bruins have Swayman and Allmark, both guys are going. And then when it comes time, we have someone ready to go. Where I think at this point, Samsonov has earned the crease, but at the same time, Woll never really lost the crease. So I think it's a chance for him to get back, get some NHL reps under him, because I know he played well in the American League, but again, the American League's the American League. You know the difference between the speed at the NHL level.
Carter, what has changed that goaltenders who are not necessarily the biggest names in the league can win Stanley Cups now? Like, has everyone just gotten so good? Like, Aiden Hill has won, Darcy Kemper, you know, names that we didn't think of at the time as like the top five guy in the league. It feels like the level of goaltending over the past 10 years or so has just gotten to the place where like everyone in that top 60, whatever, are very good goalies.
Yeah, it is. There's a handful of guys you want on your team, right, that you can't really buy in free agency. You know, the Vasilevskis, the Hellebuck, these guys are just elite every single year, no matter how good the team is, they seem to get it done. And for me, it's just the fact that, like, the structure and the way you play, and you get a goalie, you can get hot at any time. And that's where that salary cap, you sign a bad contract. You look at Korpisalo this year in Ottawa, it hasn't had a great year, and they're married to that contract, right? That's where that tough commitment comes when you have guys like, you know, Binnington winning a Stanley Cup. Even Martin Jones, when he played really well for the Sharks, bringing them the cup final. So you kind of need to strike lightning in a bottle, which is, I always used to joke around with my agent, like, hey, just to explain them, I can get hot at the right time. Right? Yeah. It's almost some sort of selling point, like, how do you sell it? And that's where I think these teams that have had depth with three goalies, you look at the Wings this year with Alex Lyon and James Reimer's played well as of late. Even the Habs carrying three, having that extra depth because injuries happen. And at the same time, if you get a guy hot at the right time, that's pretty much all you need come playoff time.
It just seems the last few years, it's been almost a lock that when we were talking best goaltenders in the National Hockey League, it's Vasilevsky, it's Shesterkin, and then Sorokin. And yet, all three of them have struggled this season. How surprised are you? And Vasilevsky, listen, he's coming off surgery. I get that. Is there a sense that he may not ever return to that real consistent look that he's had prior to that because of that surgery? Or do you still expect to see him back?
You know, I definitely would never count a guy like that out. For me, it's, I think you get a point with Vasilevskiy where you've got to start managing minutes, right? He's not as young as he used to be. He wants to play every game. Like, you know, he's waving the coach off when he wants to get pulled. But I think for him, getting a little bit of a reset is important. Even I think Shesterkin, just the All-Star break, you know, he goes and plays in the All-Star game, gets some days off, and he's been better since. What I found in my career is we're so compressed when we're playing goal. Like, you get into a state where the games just come and you're playing the wear and tear, where sometimes you get into situations where I look at Samsonov, where last year he was under a lot of pressure in Toronto, had a great playoff run, you know, hoping to get that contract. He doesn't get the contract. And now all of a sudden you get into that season where you're trying to prove yourself again. And it's a lot to wear and tear, you know, especially with the day and age we live in with social media and everything, and especially living in the fishbowl in Toronto.
So how much do different defensemen or like different style of defensemen affect a goaltender's ability to have success? I'm talking about the Leafs at the trade deadline. They're going out looking for a guy like Tanev or, you know, guys who clear the front of the net, Joel Edmondson or Gudbranson, whoever it may be. Is it a lot easier when you have guys like that in front, or are we just, do we overstate that as people watching?
I wouldn't say it's easier, but I think it creates a sort of predictability, and that comes with predictable defenseman and structure. Like, for me, a great example would be I lead the league in stats one year playing for the St. Louis Blues. Was it me, or was it a fact of, yes, I played well at times, but also some of my hardest games were just getting to the rink on time, right? We had Bomeister, Petrangelo, Edmondson, who you touched on, Parenko, all these big guys that took up space and made the game predictable. And then the next season I go to Buffalo, where we have a younger team. And now all of a sudden, the unpredictableness of the game comes in and I'm trying to do too much. You know, it gets hard. And that's where I really saw Samsonov this year. You know, his feet were busy sliding outside of the net, not very clean, where now the game seems like he's got his feet underneath him there. There's more confidence, and that becomes because of your decor, because of the structure that's brought into play.
McDonough gone from Tampa Bay with Vasilevskiy. Could that be a big part of, you know, the challenges now for Vasilevskiy once again to show everybody he's this best goalie in the world?
Yeah, I agree. I think sometimes you get tied to guys in the system. And for him, you know, it's a chance. I still, Vasilevskiy is one of those guys. He is such an elite athlete compared to myself or these other guys that I would say fill the rest of the NHL rosters. So for him, it's the chance to compete again and play well, because this team still has a pretty good core. They can score. And I think anyone going into the playoffs at this point, you're not really want to face a Tampa Bay team, because if he gets hot in a seven-game series, it's going to be really tough to knock that team out.
So you've been watching this Leafs team as closely as we have this season. How much do you think they need to get a facelift here as the deadline gets close? Because, boy, they're looking really good without one, but I know most teams would like to improve a little bit still.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys touch on it a lot. It's nice to see that, you know, the second half, the bottom six, getting some goals, getting some support. And for me, that I see Simon Benoit come up and play really well. When you see a defenseman like that, it's almost like, why don't we have five of them? Have five defensemen that just can take up time and space, and then have your offensive guy that can move pucks. I'm a big Jake McCabe fan. Mm-hmm. I think he was, you know, I played 3 years with him. He pours his heart out. He's a team guy. But he was a little like, you know, playing outside of his role, trying to do everything. When he is playing shutdown D, hard-nosed hockey, he's tough to play against. And a guy that will do whatever it is to win. So I think the spirits are high. But again, this structure that they're playing with now gives me more hope watching, I think, as a fan now and on the other side of the media compared to when I was playing for this Leafs team to actually do some damage in the playoffs.
The Leafs will face Hill tonight. For Vegas, of course, he was the number one goalie for them to win the Stanley Cup, but not necessarily a name that we ever envisioned would get to that point. And yet, when you look at that blue line, yeah, there's some challenges, no Jack Eichel, but that blue line, I would imagine Hill goes to the rink every day and thinks he won the lottery with that blue line.
Yeah, I've been there. I won that lottery when I signed in Buffalo after playing in St. Louis. So honestly, it's one of those things, though. Like, and I think for Aiden Hill, like, I honestly didn't see this coming. Like, I played against Aiden Hill. He was more of a backup. I didn't really think, you know, he gets in the Stanley Cup and he plays really well. I thought there would be a hangover phase. I didn't think he'd get the contract and be able to come back and answer it the way he has. But I see there's a maturity, too. There's almost like a mental wall you get to where the physical abilities doesn't change, but you've had so much experience now mentally with what you do on the rink and the success you've had, where that's where I think he's at now. He has so much more confidence in himself, and he doesn't view himself as that backup now. He's a Stanley Cup champion, and having that in your back pocket, even the way Binnington carries himself, where some of these guys that have playoff success, it really can snowball into a better career because you get over that mental hurdle, which we saw Samsonov struggle with this year.
Yeah. Last one from me. Just your thoughts on Joseph Woll coming back and the challenges of returning from injury. I imagine goaltending is such a mental position. You know, is it just a matter of being able to not think about the ankle while he's getting back into gameplay?
Yeah, you know, it's not the first injury he's dealt with, right? I touched on that last time I was on. The ankles are scary, but at the same time, you know, we're dealing with world-class doctors and physicians and people getting him ready to play. For me, it's just, you know, he's at the maturity level now. It's not like he's a young 21-year-old or 22-year-old you're trying to rush up. He's 25. He's been around the game now a lot, enough pro things. And especially last year, his playoff experience, I think, will come into handy here as he gets back into it. So I'm not too worried about him. I just want to see how Samsonov handles having someone nipping at his heels here. If Woll comes in and starts playing well, is he going to shut it down, or is this going to be something healthy that they can really foster into the playoff run here?
One more for me, Carter, and I'll let you go. I promise. With Carter Hart still dealing with his off-ice issues here, it's wide open for a Team Canada, Four Nations and Olympics here. And the names now, of course, are Hill and Bennington, and I don't know. I'm out of names, guys. Give me some help here.
I'll leave Skinner, that to Carter. Might be another one. Skinner might be another one on the list.
So you tell me, is this something that Canadian hockey fans can look forward to? Is this going to be one of those, boy, oh boy, are we not looking as great as we have in the past when it comes to historic teams with Team Canada?
You know, it's one of those things, I think it's an odd place for us, right? Like, we look back, and for so many years we had Price, we had Brodeur, Luongo, Waugh, these guys that were just, you know, Hall of Fame goalies. So it's going to be interesting moving forward. But I, it's nice to have these guys that are getting good experience now that are all going to get playoff experience. And again, now I touch on what I just touched on. These are world-class goalies, right? Now, who can get hot at the right time, play well in these short tournaments? You know, whether you're good or bad, if you can be hot at the right time is what they're going to need. And it's definitely a new phase for us. When you look at the American side, you go south of the border with Ottinger and Demko and Hellebuck and a lot of stars where it seems like they have the upper echelon of goaltending now. And you touched on earlier the Russians. So it's a different spot for Canada, but I would be confident with what the Canada can put on the ice. You're going to get some good goaltending as well.
Carter, great stuff as always. We really appreciate you having you on the show, and looking forward to a few more as we head towards trade deadline and then the Stanley Cup playoffs. Thanks for doing this, pal.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Former NHL goaltender, current analyst with DailyFaceoff.com, Carter Hutton.
He really had an exceptional few years. He was a 918 in Nashville, a 913 St. Louis, and then a 931 in St. Louis before he made $8.5 million with Buffalo over 3 years.
You okay, Sammy?
I think it's working. Oh, there we go.
There, he's back.
And then he made
I've got the plug here.
Yeah, I know. $8.5 million he made off that. So that's what he was talking about when he won the lottery.
And then he was great. 50 games. Buffalo played him in 908 the first year they got him. So
there you go.
So if Canadians are going to pin their hopes on a Bennington or an Aiden Hill, then how good does the defense have to be?
Vary to quite vary, I guess. You know, it's not out of the question.
When there are other teams getting 18 shots a game, it doesn't really matter.
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, you talked about how much easier it is but to play behind structure. Like, we're going to have six good D providing structure for whoever it is. So, you know.
Led by Pietrangelo. No?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's definitely on my
team. And Makar.
Kel Makar. Morgan Riley in the mix for you?
Yes, he's in the mix. Yeah. He's a top seven or eight Canadian defenseman.
Absolutely.
For me.
Yep.
Those will be fun. We will have plenty of time to put together our mock Team Canada lineups.
Borny doesn't like this.
The Team Canada mock
stuff? Yeah, you've never liked it.
You know why I don't like it?
You've never liked it.
I've never liked it because it takes genuine thought. Like, you need to sit there and, like, you know, work through the options, the lineup, who's going to kill penalties, whatever. And then
is that why you left Marner on your team?
Hey. Our show has never been about that.
Well, that's my point. But so when you go on the air and it's like, who should be the Leafs D? It's not as easy as that. Like,
but we're out of work if we put the thought and prep that you're talking about into this show daily.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah. Forget the care.
We're done.
Throw it out the
window. But it is a hot, it's starting to be a hot button topic. Right?
Yeah, it's getting concerning.
Like, I don't know, the other day someone had Claude Giroux in instead of Mitch Marner. And I'm like,
was it him?
No.
Oh.
No. I don't know where I read it. And I'm like, I'm not what world
guy,
is that?
I'm not going to be the guy where for a year now you act like I put Mitch Marner. I laid out my lineup. Take a guy out.
I will.
Yeah, go ahead.
Marchessault, done.
Okay, well, that's fine. I had Marner on with him.
But he's going to score four tonight.
Yeah.
No, I had both those guys. I didn't have him off. And to me, it's like a matter of how you mix up those lines is kind of subjective and changes with injuries and chemistry and all that.
Of
just
course.
Get the right
something's
13.
Not working. The offense is dried up.
Sure.
Who do you move up? Who do you move down?
And that's where the thought comes in.
Who drags a lip for getting bumped off the first line?
And that's always blown my mind, too, that on Team Canada, anybody would, you know, get out there and be like, oh, I'm not getting enough. It's like, you're on Team Canada.
Yeah.
You know, you do it for the country.
That
here.
Tore apart the Tampa Bay Lightning and Stevie Wyatt.
I know.
So there you go.
That was a matter of getting on the team. Hey,
we got a new read for today. Let me quickly get that one in there.
All right.
Okay. Join Cobb's Bread this Saturday, March 2nd, for Donation Day, where $2 from every six-pack of their hot cross buns sold will be donated over 100 local Canadian charities with a target goal of over $500,000. To celebrate, we're giving away $100 Cobb's Bread gift cards all week. To enter, text the daily code word to 59590. Today's code word for one of the hot cross bun flavors is traditional fruit. Text traditional fruit to 59590 for your chance to win.
Sorry, you're not saying that clear.
traditional fruit.
Okay.
I'm getting sewered, but... Well, Cobb's Bread bakes fresh in-house all day, every day. And when the doors close, all leftover baked goods are donated to local charities, which is nice. The next morning, they start fresh. I love Cobb's Bread, so this is nice.
Cobb's Bread, shout out.
Shout out to Cobb's Bread. But traditional fruit is that code word. Text
595. Get your non-traditional pomegranates out of here.
There you go. Traditional
I've been ripping, like, code names all season long.
We're simple and nice for the last
read. And now we get dropped traditional fruit.
What? Name me a traditional fruit. An apple is a traditional fruit.
A strawberry?
Oh, that's
banana? Banana for sure. Kipper?
It's one of those.
Okay, like I said, we don't do much prep for the show, so...
Name a non-traditional fruit was not...
No, I'm not. Don't put me on the spot like that.
Yeah.
Oh. Apparently it was Mark Mathot that said Giroux over Marner.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I knew I saw it somewhere.
Ottawa guy.
Yeah. Ottawa guy.
But that's...
I actually like Mark Mathot a lot. Wish he was...
Sure. Except, you know, Claude Giroux.
Except for that thing.
Drop in one of the top scorers the last 5 years for any Canadian player for Claude Giroux. You're going to take some heat on that one.
Justified.
Just a quick Jays corner before we go, because they're in our Toronto market. Alec Manoah's first spring start today didn't go so hot. And Shohei Ohtani has hit his first home run in his first game as a Dodger.
So why is it not a good start for...
Because he hit people and threw 17 strikes on 38 pitches and gave up four runs in
an
inning.
Do we know maybe he tried to hit people on purpose?
Maybe. That's a good... You know what?
Right? Maybe he's trying to throw right balls. On.
So...
Either way...
It could have gone better for the old Jays.
Seeing Shohei in blue and white hit a homer to opposite field and one he barely got a hold of.
And the most sickening part for Jays fans and everybody who's listening to this.
Or just you.
No, because, listen, there's a lot of Jays fans listening to this station.
All right.
He looks so good in that Dodgers uni. He was born to wear that Dodgers uni. Like, that's him. Did my mic get cut off? Yeah, it did. I think, am I gone? Oh, no, I'm good. I'm back. My headphone came unplugged, so I couldn't hear myself, so I thought I got...
The higher-ups turned your mic off.
You look so good in that jersey.
Yeah. Anybody making 700? Is that what he signed, 700?
Well, he's only making 2 million. He's deferred 698.
You'll look good in any uniform.
Yeah, he'd look good in a Coyotes Kachina jersey.
Now, where are we on see-through baseball pants?
So, apparently, it's a conspiracy theory. And last year they were see-through in spring training and it was lighting from the studios that they were taking the picture in. Apparently the pants aren't as bad as once said. So it seems like something.
The pants aren't as bad and the jerseys actually aren't as bad. And
seems like something by June. I would never think about this again. Maybe even April.
So.
Are we over the questionable uniforms?
Yeah.
Completely?
No, not even close. I'm not over it. They're awful.
You're not over it.
I'll be over it until they do the Leafs jerseys next year and they're
then we
then we'll be back.
Really?
Yeah, then we'll be back. Yeah.
So it's the same company that held all the leagues now?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to mention what the company is?
No.
No. We won't mention the name in case you want to sponsor our show. In case we love them.
Not a chance they're going to sponsor our show. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We go all national. Gary Galley will join us.